Time to show the world that top is what I strive for. Greatness is a journey I'm willing to strive for. Consistency is key and I don't take no time off. Against the odds, I put it all on the line for. A lesson learned for every flaw I'm gonna make. Consequence I undertake, putting all my trust in fate. Failure won't become my fate. 10 toes down, I never fold. Give it all to reach my goal. As my name is stone, when my story's told. Say I did it for the...
Have a newsletter where you send out product ideas, right?
That's correct, yeah. So it's called the Loose Leaf Cannon, which doesn't really signify anything about like it being about product ideas. It's just kind of a pun a while back. But each week I kind of just email out a new product idea that I've thought about and kind of my plan for marketing it and launching it. And the last one went out yesterday. So very, very top of mind for me.
Sounds super interesting. And I signed up, but I have to admit that I didn't read it yet. So I am really curious because what you just described is really you're not looking like for trends, what lots of people are doing, but you're also thinking about what you can actually do with the idea that you really think in terms of like a marketing plan or how to actually build it. And it's just one idea per week.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So the idea is that I kind of like provide some like creative ideas for anyone who maybe is like launching their own business and kind of wants to hear about like new marketing channels or new ways of like testing or validating an idea. Or, you know, there's maybe like, this is probably more rare, but maybe there's someone who actually is looking for an idea and, you know, something resonates with them and, you know, they want to go off and build it. So it's sometimes the ideas are my own. Sometimes I, you know, see them on Twitter or someone like writes a little bit about it and I'm like, hey, I want to go deeper into that. And there's been a couple of cases where it's not a completely new idea. It's an actual product, but it's like very early and, you know, very far from its potential. So still a lot of, you know, fun kind of stuff to explore. And yeah. And yesterday's product actually was a bit different because it was actually a product I am building. And so the idea was to give people kind of a glimpse into how I'm actually building a product and, you know, how I plan to scale it once we launch.
I'm, of course, super curious. What was the last idea?
Yesterday's idea was BirdieBots. So BirdieBots is a like Twitter SaaS automation tool that I'm building with a friend. And the idea is that it's a tool you set up on your Twitter account, and then it will like recycle and repost the best of all your old tweets so that you can like get more out of content you've already posted. And, you know, it saves you time. You don't have to like sacrifice quality to like churn out more content because you're already pulling from, you know, high quality content you've tweeted in the past. And it's a very kind of like niche product, but it's not really like anything else like it at the moment. And so we'll see what happens when we launch next month. But yeah, it's been an exciting journey. It's also been kind of the first product that I've like taken more seriously. And so, you know, learning a lot along the way myself.
So there are many like Twitter products, but yours is really just focused on this one idea, really just recycling your tweets, getting the most out of them. Because for example, I know that one of the tools, HypeFury, I think, has a feature where they repost your stuff after 12 hours. So it's seen on the other side of the globe, something along these lines, right? And this is like also what your tool would be able to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So HypeFury has like a couple features like that. They'll also like automatically retweet your tweet, like, you know, after it's been posted. They also have an evergreen tweet feature where, you know, you can give it like 3 to 5 different evergreen tweets and then they'll like automatically plug that like beneath tweets that like become popular. So like our key differentiator is that we're pulling from your whole archive of tweets and it's completely like automatic, right? So you don't have to like tell us like 2 to 3 tweets. Like we're automatically searching all your old tweets and pulling, let's say, all the ones that got 100 likes and then reposting those. So, and you know, we show you a queue. So, you know, if there's one you don't want to repost, like that's fine, you delete it, whatever. But yeah, so it is definitely niche, you know, theoretically, you know, HypeFury could come in and build the same thing as us or, you know, acquire us, you know, whatever it is, right? Like it's very niche, but yeah, we'll see where it goes and it's fun. But at the very least, we're building for ourselves. So this is, you know, a product that, you know, I would want to use. It's a product we've built a couple of bots on actually. So the cool thing about it is that not only can you do this for your own account, but you can do this for like other people's accounts and kind of quote the best of, you know, someone else on Twitter. So if you've seen the David Perel bot around on Twitter that we built with our platform, and it just kind of like quotes the best tweets from David Perel. So there's a couple of those bots around on Twitter that we're running, and hopefully once we launch, there'll be a lot more.
Yeah, that sounds like a use case that I immediately understand, because I was just thinking about in terms of using it for my private account. And then I thought about, okay, what are my most popular tweets? And my most popular tweets are like announcements. So it wouldn't make sense to repost them. But of course, it really depends on how you use Twitter, because they are like people who use Twitter primarily to post insightful stuff. And then it makes more sense. If you're using it like to build in public, which is what I'm doing, it probably makes less sense, right? Because if you're, today I did this and it makes zero sense to repost this in 3 months because it's simply no longer true. And
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. But the bot thing, I of course immediately understand. And I just remember this one story that emerged on Reddit, I think, where one guy wrote a case study where he claimed he built a bot and made this much money. He got many upvotes, but was quickly called out that it's completely bullshit. And he was just trying to sell his bot building business, whatever. It was really a strange story. But nevertheless, it put this whole business onto my radar because, yeah, I'm pretty sure that you can make money this way. And people are doing it very successfully. They are like the Neverhunt, right? They, I don't know how many followers, but probably a lot, because Naval himself retweets him all the time. So,
right.
And also Taleb is probably super popular. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So those are some of the kind of the bigger, as you could say, like legacy bots that have been around for a while. We're like obviously a lot newer to the game, started back in April. But, you know, eventually those bots, they could be run on our platform like super easily, you know, automate everything if they would like. And yeah, it's pretty cool. I think like one of the cool things that we're excited about is that Twitter is like a heavily under-monetized platform. And so people who are getting so much value for free are very open to like paying for tools to supplement their Twitter. You know, there's people who are running businesses off of Twitter, literally making money off the platform. And so, you know, a tool that's, you know, $10 a month that, you know, helps them get more followers or create more content, you know, that's like it's a win-win, right? So I think that's why Hype Theory has been, you know, fairly successful so far. There's another, like a Twitter analytics platform, this guy Dan Rowden launched, ilo.so. You know, it's also been like fairly successful so far. So I think like there's a lot of room for these niche tools, which I think because Twitter's not monetizing the platform themselves. So, you know, indie hackers and creators are stepping in to do it for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a huge opportunity. I totally agree. And I just had a look, like your Perel bot already has 3,000 followers, which is quite cool, not too shabby. Given that it's automated, I'm of course curious about monetization. Do you monetize the bot already, or do you still wait till I don't know how many followers, or is there no plan? Is it just a marketing thing for Verdibot?
Yeah, it's basically free marketing. I mean, we want to kind of like keep the quality of the bot high, and so don't plan on, you know, kind of clogging the feed for our followers at all with it. But, you know, it brings us like millions of free impressions every month. Verdibots is linked in the bio in kind of like a non-scammy, non-spammy way. So we drive traffic to our website that way. And it's also just been great to like resurface David Perel's ideas. Like, I'm sure, you know, you followed him for a while and are always impressed by like the content he continues to put out. But some of like the cool stuff is like seeing what he was putting out last year or even, you know, even earlier. And so I've kind of like gotten lots of my own ideas from that, from seeing that. And Dave Perel actually has too. So he messaged us when we were first setting this up about how it's cool that it shows him kind of stuff that he forgot he tweeted probably like, you know, a year ago, or, you know, he gets to rediscover how his thoughts have changed, but it's also just like spaced repetition of his ideas to his audience, right? So like if he's building a, you know, a writing school and he's tweeting a lot about the power of writing, right? That like helps attract customers to him and drive customers to his business. But if he has a bot doing the same thing, that's just kind of like increasing the market of people who know how powerful writing is and are interested in learning how to write well. So it's, you know, it's a win-win kind of situation for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also cool about these, when you build these Twitter tools, is that at the bottom of each tweet, it says sent using verdibot.com, right? So it's this kind of referral marketing built in. That's really powerful, I guess. But you haven't launched yet, so there are no numbers. It's just pre-alpha, pre-beta. currently, right? It's just you using it
yourself. Yeah. So we have about 300 people on the wait list. That's kind of like our key metric at the moment. You know, we're just trying to get a lot of waitlist signups while we finish building out the product. But yeah, no revenue yet. Just kind of preparing, kind of building a pipe. And yeah, so it'll be exciting. It's, you know, it's new for both myself and my co-founder Dominic. We're both kind of first time founders. So, you know, learning a lot, taking it slow, and yeah, we'll see. So
yeah, really cool to hear, because I think it's pretty obvious that this is not a $1 million idea, whatever, probably, but maybe like Hype Fury or a level below that would be nice already, right? Especially given that this is like a first attempt, and maybe it can even grow into something with more features like Hype Fury, or even more in the bot direction, which I think is also really interesting, especially now that you mentioned spaced repetition in this context. And of course, yeah, it's really, really cool. So I'm also really interested in what other product ideas you have, because so do you just write about software ideas or product ideas in general?
So yeah, product ideas in general. And I'd go so far as to just say like new business ideas, like not even discrete products, but you know, could be like in-person like storefronts, or I mean, really kind of anything. It's whatever, I guess, piques my kind of interest. And then it also kind of challenges me to think about marketing kind of new types of things, new types of channels, and hopefully, you know, it's more beneficial for people who subscribe. So actually yesterday I got a reply from a reader saying, when are you going to talk about a product that is marketed to college students? Because I'm building a business for college students, and you know, I want to get ideas about how to market to college students. So stay tuned, but next week I'm probably going to choose an idea in that realm. And so it's kind of cool to be able to take from like a wide variety of stuff. Yeah, I mean, I could share some past ideas. I also have a whole list of future ideas too. So
awesome, yeah.
Yeah. So, and actually I was discussing this last week with a couple other people, but I've had this idea about like a Yelp for individuals. So, you know, you're an Uber driver and you drive for Uber, you have your 5-star rating, and then, you know, something happens and you have to change jobs. That 5-star rating is basically owned by Uber, right? You can't like take that wherever you go next. But if you had your own kind of like Yelp page, you would basically have like permanent feedback that can travel with you from job to job. So you could think of it as like a Yelp for individuals, or alternatively like a LinkedIn for like service workers or blue collar workers. I think there's kind of like a lot of different analogies you could use, but basically just like LinkedIn is not serving like most working people. It's serving, you know, people like you and me mostly. And so I think there's like room for a platform to come in and be kind of like a social proof for like, yeah, like a recommendation kind of platform. So it's hard to describe it. Like I think like the Yelp for individuals is like a good analogy.
Yeah, interesting. And I'm just trying to imagine what it would look like, who would use it, and if it would probably have the same problem that Yelp whatever is having. Because of course you need to like earn money in some way, and lots of these review platforms do quite shady shit, right? Say if you're a premium user, you can remove negative reviews from your stuff, and so it's always a bit difficult, it seems, to monetize without doing shady stuff. But have you thought about that, so about monetization?
So I think there would be like a B2B play for monetization. So if you're a business, like say you're Chick-fil-A, I guess, do you guys have Chick-fil-A in Germany?
No.
But do you know what Chick-fil-A is?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. So we'll go with Chick-fil-A. So like Chick-fil-A, right? Like they really value workers who are polite and kind, right? And who are going to like say, you're welcome every time someone says thank you. That's like their thing, right? And so if they had a platform that would let them more easily vet employees, I think they would definitely be willing to pay for something like that. And, you know, so I think there's kind of like a background check monetization that you could use. Regarding the negativity stuff, this is actually what someone else suggested, but you could basically filter the platform to be for only positive reviews. So you would let you could let people who are creating their profiles basically select the feedback that gets shown. Kind of like on LinkedIn, right? Like LinkedIn, you don't really see the bad recommendations people leave for people. Like people have to approve every recommendation. And so the value is in like kind of showing you at your best, not showing you at your worst. And so And I mean, I think it's like true for interviews too, right? Like when you go to interview for a company, you don't have to tell them all the bad things in life or whatever, right? Like that's good. It's all about showing you at your best. And so I think like Yelp is kind of like a bad analogy in that way, because yeah, right. Like as you said, Yelp is scammy. Like, you know, you're paying to remove bad reviews and, you know, businesses will have like a 2.5 star rating at Yelp and, you know, whatever, right? But it would more be kind of like a positive, like social proof platform that easily lets people go on, leave you a review. And, you know, if you want to accept it, you can, you don't have to. But, you know, like imagine, like say you order pizza from the DoorDash guy and he leaves you his card and it's got like it looks like a Twitter handle, but it's actually like a, let's say a review platform handle, you know, so you know exactly where to go and leave him a review. You know, it's because, and the, you know, DoorDash or the restaurant really shouldn't get credit for the great delivery, right? Like the actual delivery guy should get credit for, you know, having had the perfect pizza, you know, on time for you. So I don't know. I think it's an interesting idea. And honestly, like I think it's simple enough that I could see myself like trying to test it and validate it at some point. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
Definitely interesting. But what I'm curious about is, have you any idea why this doesn't exist? Maybe there is some legal stuff. I'm not sure, but this could be an issue where, yeah, especially if you allow negativity, this could turn into a dumpster fire, right? So, but I really like the idea that you only allow like the positivity, which is what most social networks are now doing, where you only have an upvote button and downvote buttons simply do not exist.
Yeah, I think the reason why it might not exist is just because the gig economy is like a more recent phenomenon. And I mean, so like, yeah, you could use this in the restaurant industry. And I think like, you know, waiters, waitresses, et cetera, would be ideal, like users. But I think like gig economy workers are also awesome and a growing kind of like new segment of the economy. So, you know, if you're a graphic designer, you could have your, you know, profile for this and, you know, maybe like embedded on your website, right? Like that didn't exist, you know, 10, 20 years ago, probably. And that's like, you know, just kind of catapulting in size. But yeah, I mean, it's other than that though, my guess is that this has been tried before, but that it's never like scaled because the market is so big for this, right? Like there's probably like 1 or 2 billion plus people who would be like potential users in the world, right?
Right.
If not more, I mean, maybe like half the population. I mean, so it's so big. I mean, my guess is it's been tried, but it's hard to scale it. And of course, like a lot of the value that you get from it is like the network effect of people using it, right? So yeah. I mean, scaling would be the challenge.
Yeah, for some reason, I immediately started thinking about the whole crypto world that people probably would try something there because there you have like everything is recorded on some kind of blockchain. And though it can't be changed afterwards, so you really have not the problem that you have on Yelp, whatever, that reviews get removed afterwards and it's not really worth anything. And do you know Urbit? It's this decentralized internet kind of thing.
And
yeah, they also have like a decentralized digital identity system is what they call it. And as far as I'm aware, there's also some kind of reputation system. And I really don't know anything about Urbit, but I just heard about it and saw this one feature and thought, this is really interesting. And I think interesting because I think it goes exactly in that direction. And I was wondering why it doesn't exist for our like centralized internet, because it would be pretty cool to for anyone you meet online. For every persona online, it doesn't have to be a real person, but like for every persona or whatever, to have a like reputation system, because there are many bad actors online and it would be cool to be able to filter them out, right? So, and I'm not pretty sure how it works for them, but like you can, creating a new account costs you a little money and then you need to build up your reputation before you can do certain stuff. And this is how they want to prevent spammers, this kind of stuff. But I think, yeah, there's at least I would love if this kind of thing existed just to make sure that you're not dealing with a scammer or whatever. And it's really strange that it doesn't exist. So there must be a reason why it exists for like anything. You have a review website for anything, but not for people.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, like every platform has to figure it out themselves. And
right.
And they have figured it out internally, but it's just like, can you build something that's cross-platform? So, I mean, like on Facebook, right? Like if I get a request from someone who has zero friends and I don't know, like they're fake. If I get a request from someone who's got lots of friends and I don't know them, like maybe they're real and they want to like reach out to me for some like legitimate reason, right? But so on Facebook, like number of friends might be that kind of qualifier. On LinkedIn, maybe it's like recommendations or just, you know, how many connections someone has. You know, Uber has 4-star reviews, Yelp has, et cetera, right? But yeah, like people cross-platform, like doesn't exist. I think it's, yeah, it's going to be all the more important too as like the gig economy blows up. I remember like Naval was talking about in the future, like we may be in a world where bosses and, you know, corporate jobs are completely abolished and, you know, everyone is kind of like working on their own, like choosing what tasks they want to do each day from like a queue of jobs. And, you know, this would be like perfect for that, right? Like you got to have a way to rate people in a gig economy like that.
Do you know Colony? Colony.io is a project, because in this kind of world that Noel describes, you still have the problem that there are certain types of projects that require groups of people working together, right? So even if you have like just independent people, everyone doing their own thing, there are still projects that require groups of people cooperating. And then you have the problem with like, you're having a hierarchy and yeah, all the problems that brings. And I'm not sure how far these guys are, but the last time I checked, it sounded really interesting because they want to create a software that makes it possible for people to build companies without an owner. And it's all based on a kind of reputation system where you are paid according to how much work you do, and each work task is also rated by the people, and your rating has a weight depending on how much work you have done on the project as a whole. So a really interesting concept.
Interesting. Yeah, I was actually just writing about this idea this morning, but this adds something I hadn't considered.
It's also, of course, a crypto project, and I'm not a crypto guy. I know very little about it, but it looks like something non-scammy and as if they are serious. And again, I would love if they could pull it off and something like this would exist, right? It would be really cool, like ownerless companies where it's all based on the actual work you contribute.
I was going to ask, I wonder how Colony is run themselves. I wonder if they have a hierarchy.
I think they want to use the software themselves. So the last time I checked, this was really their plan to like dog food it. And yeah.
Interesting.
It would be really strange, right? If they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, they got to figure it out. But like, how do you build a product that does that without, like when you don't already have a hierarchy? Yeah, it's an interesting chicken and egg problem.
So what else have you got on your list?
An influencer marketplace for LinkedIn.
Okay.
So LinkedIn, right, is like not traditionally a, you know, an influencer place, right? That's Instagram and basically just Instagram, maybe TikTok, maybe or like YouTube. But LinkedIn is like definitely up and coming. There's like tons of influencers there now. And one of them in particular, which I'm a huge fan of, Taylor Offer, he's basically monetized himself as an influencer himself. So, you know, he'll reach out to brands and get these deals, you know, with his own cold emailing, precisely because there's no like market for this already. But I think, you know, LinkedIn is on the up in this kind of direction. It's becoming more human. It still has a long ways to go, but it's, yeah, I mean, I think it's something that's going to happen eventually. I mean, we're very early. You have to convince companies that LinkedIn is a good place for this and that, you know, their money is worth it. I remember like, so Taylor is also a pretty heavily present on Instagram, and he was having to convince companies that they could pay him on LinkedIn, like even like a fifth of what he was charging on Instagram, even though he had more followers on LinkedIn. And it's just because of this spike bias against LinkedIn. And he's like, look, if you're a B2B company, like LinkedIn is absolutely valuable for you, but it's just hard for companies to realize. And yeah, because it's just not their mentality, right? Like most B2B companies have never done influencer marketing before. So, but yeah, I think an influencer marketplace for LinkedIn would be interesting.
I have to admit that I know absolutely nothing about LinkedIn. nothing. I've never used it. And I can't imagine what an influencer post or what even an influencer on LinkedIn looks like. So what that even means, because in my mind, it was all about your online resume and finding jobs, whatever. But as apparently, and people make fun of this, there are people that use it in a way like other people use Twitter, like to post tips and inspirational stuff, right? This is where the influencer stuff comes in, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So people, as you're saying, they use it like Twitter, but just like with a bigger character limit. So instead of, you know, 280 characters, it's like close to 1500. And so you can write like, you know, like several paragraphs in a post. And yeah, people share like resume tips, job search tips. I think there's a big opportunity to often just package some of the same ideas that are popular on Twitter and put them on LinkedIn, because LinkedIn usually is not that like original or doesn't have like that many good ideas. It's mostly just like all this career and resume advice. And so you can really stand out by having good ideas. That's kind of something I'm trying, you know, I'll let you know how it goes. But yeah, like, you know, say that someone is, you know, sponsored by Salesforce, right? You know, they could kind of like natively write this post about, I don't know, the power of like, you know, business intelligence and, you know, learning about your customers and that sort of stuff. And then and be like, by the way, you know, I'm sponsored by Salesforce, sign up for a demo here, right? So like, and those are kind of the best kind of sponsorships that do well. But, you know, up to this point, it's people doing it themselves. So, you know, Taylor Offer, he's a, you know, a LinkedIn influencer, but he runs a big e-commerce business on the side. He sells like hoodies and sweatshirts and stuff. And so he kind of sponsors himself, right? So like, I think he said he's sold like $2+ million worth of product through kind of his own self-sponsored posts on LinkedIn. And he has like, you know, a couple like courses, you know, e-commerce and TikTok courses and stuff like that, that he also sells kind of like self-sponsored. And yeah, I think like a way to test this is to kind of like affiliate market yourself to start, right? So like affiliate marketing is kind of like do-it-yourself sponsorship, right? It's like I can take...
Commissionless, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I take my referral code for Robinhood and I post about, you know, why you should buy stocks on Robinhood. And then if people sign up, then I could go to Robinhood and say like, look, I drove this many signups. Can you like sponsor me? And we can like make this official or whatever it is, right? But so that could be an interesting way of kind of getting it started.
Yeah, interesting. So just you mentioned cross-posting, right? From Twitter to LinkedIn. And I think yesterday Hype Fury announced this feature that you can cross-post your tweets immediately to LinkedIn. Funnily, it really seems to be a thing. I have no idea if this really makes sense because I know nothing about LinkedIn.
Yeah. Do you use Hype Fury?
No, I don't. And I tried it once, but didn't like it for some reason. For some reason, I can't remember, to be honest. Or maybe it was just the pricing, that it's money for something I don't need. I have no need for the features they have. That was my impression, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. I'm curious, do you use a different professional network other than LinkedIn?
No professional network, because I'm not looking for a job. All my friends signed up for LinkedIn when they started looking for jobs, and I never did that. So I know nothing about LinkedIn. I never played that game. So.
Yeah, no, fair. I mean, that's, you know, good that you never had to. I know there's a couple like EU-focused professional networks, though. I'm blanking on their names, but I was curious.
Yeah, Xing is huge, I think. It's Xing with X at the beginning.
Yeah,
but, got it. But I think it's basically just a clone. So.
Got it. Yeah, it's interesting. Do you have any ideas that you want to share?
Probably too many. So I always have like this huge idea list that I can pull up, but most of them are super silly. And yeah, this is like this idea that Julian Shapiro shared where it works like a faucet, where you first need to get all the bad stuff out before the fresh water comes. And it works the same with creativity. So I'm always happy to write down bad ideas. And let me think about what I'm honestly excited about, because as I said, there are so many bad ideas. And like, I get too excited about very tiny stuff all the time. like my what to tweet tool, which is of course super basic, but yeah, I get, yeah, get enthusiastic about this kind of stuff. And then I immediately start thinking, what else could I do along these lines? So I did something similar with product ideas. And also, of course, for writing, I could do it. And for ideas in general, and build it even into like a general purpose tool, would be super easy. And I probably will do it because it will take me just like 2 hours. So
yeah. But, oh, I loved the tool. I mean, it's like, it's so simple, but like it works. And it's like, yeah, right. It's like that perfect amount of like specificity that like gives you inspiration, but like also, you know, is broad enough to like work multiple times and give you multiple ideas. And you got this from Dickie Bush, right? Like, didn't he tweet about this and you made the tool in response, or did you have it before?
I already built a similar tool before. That's called whattotweet.com. And then I saw, like, in the same week when I launched this, I saw his tweet about his process and decided to build like a custom version based on his tweet, which is like, yeah, titled Tweet Like Dickie. But it's really funny because I think it's a cool marketing strategy, because I will never make any money from this, because like adding ads or whatever would defeat the whole purpose of the thing. But like, whenever I now see someone tweeting something or writing something about, this is how I write, this is how I tweet, I can like build this tiny tool and then tag them and they will probably retweet it. So it's again like win-win for all involved parties, but not a huge business in itself. And it's, again, it could be more like a feature for a real Twitter tool.
Have you, curious, like, have you checked like web traffic or like seen how many?
This is something I'm a bit proud of, that I never track metrics. So I try to avoid all metrics really as much as I can. And the only times I check metrics is when I want to share them on Twitter or in my newsletters, because this type of content is doing super well. But I personally don't like looking at it, because it's kind of meaningless, because you don't have like control over it anyway, and you only will get excited or disappointed from things you have no control over. So I try to focus on stuff I actually can control, like my output, right? How many stuff I write, how many projects I start, this kind of thing. And yeah, so I never installed analytics software on my websites, because I also think you can waste so much time with trying to tweak tiny things which are ultimately meaningless. Because like, if you have a huge thing, then squeezing out a few percentage in your click-through rate or whatever won't make or break the thing, because it's big anyway. And if it's small, like tweaking a little bit on the click-through rate changes, yeah, won't make or break it either, because like zero times a small click-through rate is still zero. So at least that's my thinking.
And maybe like, if you're, you know, converting more people, like those people you're converting are like lower quality. If they weren't, you know, convinced by a worse version, like maybe a better version is just like getting people who are more on the fringe and are not actually as ideal customers. I'm just spouting here, I don't know, but yeah.
But it's also like kind of unfortunate, because there's so much money to be made in this space. And I'm like excluding myself completely from this world, because analytics software is huge in all like you just mentioned, this Twitter analytics tool, right? He's already making money from it. And I'm like blocking myself off completely from starting anything there, because I know nothing about it and I'm not using it. Probably not that smart, but at least it makes me happy currently. And yeah, in terms of product ideas, so something I would like to try next is, because I'm writing a lot of code just for myself, and I would love to experiment with like micro APIs, where I'm just using some of the code and like capsulating and then making it available as an API and charging money for it, just to see if this kind of business model would work. So I think, yeah, it's like the perfect business model, right? So people pay just for how much they use, and you basically don't have to do anything except for maintain it sometimes. But if it's really just a simple API, yeah, it's a real cool business model that I would love to try. And just for example, I built this thing called Newsletter Spy, which is a tool that collects data on newsletters. And because one customer asked me, is it possible to like add categories to the newsletters? Because of course it would be really cool to get all the business newsletters or whatever filter like this. And then I wrote some machine learning code in order to do this automatically. And yeah, I could just put this online and maybe someone uses it for whatever purpose, or maybe they don't, but at least I should try it. So I think APIs in general are a really cool business model that not enough people are experimenting with. And just another idea that comes to my mind, and I wrote about this like a few weeks ago, is API arbitrage. Quite some people are already doing, where you're basically purchasing API credits, whatever, and then resell them. You cut them into chunks, because a big problem, at least I notice, is that lots of services start the API packages at huge quantities. Like you get 100,000 credits for $10,000 each month, like something crazy like this. And there are these like middlemen who just buy these used packages and then resell it. And yeah, it's very obvious how to make money this way, right?
So, interesting. Yeah. And it's also like, it's cheaper to buy in large quantities too, right? Like we're facing this with Twitter, with building Birdie bots, like, you know, accessing Twitter data in small quantities is pretty expensive. But, you know, if you're like on an enterprise plan, then it becomes pretty cheap at scale. So yeah, it's a pretty cool idea. I mean, it should already exist, right?
Yeah, it exists in specific niches. One example is data for SEO.com, I think. And what they are doing is they are just buying credits for all kinds of SEO tools and then resell them. Because, for example, SEMrush starts at something crazy, like $5,000 or whatever per month. So regular users like myself could never use it. And they are doing very well, I think. So I don't think they share numbers, but it's apparent that they do a lot of money this way. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm not much of a developer myself, so it's a little more complicated, I guess, and less relevant for me. But Packy McCormick, one of my favorite business writers on Twitter, who writes the Not Boring newsletter, one of his latest pieces was entitled APIs All the Way Down. And it was basically about Twilio and, you know, how great a business it is to be in APIs, just because like the moat is like pretty large, right? So like once you're embedded in a company's like APIs and like you're processing like, you know, all sorts of operational stuff for them, like it's really hard for them to leave, right? So like I think Twilio is like works with Shopify, like they're one of their biggest customers. But, you know, it's a big opportunity to do this, because like Shopify doesn't want to have to, you know, worry about, you know, X, Y, and Z. They just want to focus on what they're good at, like, you know, creating stores for businesses. And so APIs are a way of like outsourcing what you're not good at and just focusing on what you are good at. And then while you do that, you know, you get this massive moat. Packy's got a really great argument for APIs. Definitely a good read if you haven't seen it before.
Yeah, sounds awesome. Sounds super interesting.
So,
yeah I think we are already over time. But is there any last thing you want to add? Any last promotion?
If anyone's interested in automating parts of their Twitter, recycling past content, check out BirdieBots at birdiebots.com. And I assume people who listen are interested in product ideas. So, you know, feel free to check out my newsletter where I share one a week. You can sign up at sendfox.com/canon. The link's also in my Twitter bio. Find me on Twitter, LukeCannon727. But yeah, no, this is wonderful. I love talking product ideas. And you're also someone who enjoys the same thing, so it's a perfect fit.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you, Jakob.
Bye-bye.